Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to Crypto Savvy The Essentials, brought to you by Hashkey Group. Now, every week we speak to marquee names from different sectors of the digital asset landscape as we aim to help you become familiar with the more mind-bending and perplexing topics in this space and truly become crypto savvy. Now, in this episode, we catch up with Kunal Kanodia, who is Senior Director, Product Strategist of Hashkey, who's also my colleague, who will break down the intersection between TradFi and crypto, as well as what are some of the products out there in crypto that kind of mirrors those in TradFi space and what's missing. Stay tuned and hope you enjoy the show.
You're listening to Crypto Savvy, the show that demystifies digital assets and uncovers all things cryptocurrency. Brought to you by the Hashkey Group, a leader in financial technology and digital asset management.
Welcome back to Crypto Savvy, The Essentials, brought to you by Hashkey Group. Now, when I say welcome back, I do mean welcome back because it's been around 6 months since our last episode on the show, and we're back better than ever. So joining with me is actually our new host, co-host of the podcast, Celine Chen. My name is Jason Lee, and I'll also be co-hosting the show with Celine. So I'm with the marketing and client strategy team at Hashkey. I basically do content, thought leadership, and branding stuff for Hashkey. Now, Celine, it's the first time that people have seen you or heard about you. I mean, technically me as well, but I've been on other Hashkey programs. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, when did you first get into this space, etc.?
Hi guys, I'm Celine. So I kind of like grew up in different places, Australia, America, New Zealand, Taiwan, and then later on moved to Hong Kong for college and also studying and also work. And initially started off as a more in the traditional finance and banking area. And then later on, I moved into more like private equity, venture capital space. So that's the chance kind of where I got more involved in crypto, blockchain, NFT as a freelance and also part-time, basically doing different more community manager and also different like hosts for different AMA projects. And so personally myself, I start to know about all crypto Bitcoin back when I was in college, back in the 2000, around that area, 2000 something. So that was when I first kind of attended a conference, initially also in Hong Kong at that conference. And then later on, I started doing some investments, involvements too. And then initially I realized how active this and fast this market moves. And then not until I moved into NFT, I realized the market moves even faster, which is like only few days of duration.
It was crazy.
Like, yeah. Pretty crazy. Yeah. That's basically my story of how I moved into like this Web3 space, so-called Web3 space.
So what's your favorite coin, Celine?
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
No,
we're not shilling any coins
yes.
on this show.
But, no, shilling.
But yeah. Well, thank you, Celine. It's wonderful to have you co-host this podcast with me. And let's see what sparkles, you know, we can generate together with our guests.
No, the pleasure is mine, actually. Thank you for inviting me, Jason.
How crypto savvy are you? Follow the Crypto Savvy podcast to get all the essential knowledge you need.
Today, we are very honored to have our guest for the show, and as well as my colleague, Mr. Kunal Kanodia, to join us as the guest for today's episode. Now, Kunal recently joined HashKey as Senior Director, Product Strategist. Now, before joining HashKey, Kunal worked at MUFG Securities Asia as Director in Rates Trading. And he also worked at Societe Generale Hong Kong as its Vice President, focused on trading interest rate options and nonlinear trading. He graduated from the University of California, Berkeley, with a Master of Science in Financial Engineering. Welcome, Kunal, to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Jason and Celine. I'm very well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing this. So normally with these episodes, we like to start with kind of a hero story. So Kunal, I know you primarily worked as a trader for, the most part of your professional life. Can you tell us what that life is about? How did you find working as a trader?
Yes, you're right. My last 17 years has been in traditional finance, and I worked in the capacity of an interest rate derivatives trader for practically all that time. In one word or in one phrase, the way I can describe it, it's been 17 years of a roller coaster. I came into the industry in 2005, and I started my first role in Tokyo. And there was this whole buzz about the markets at the time, the amount of capital injection that was going on, the profitability, overall just a huge buzz. And then obviously 2008 happened, and it almost felt like, you know, you're running at 100 miles per hour and suddenly get hit by a freight train. And everything changed overnight, it seemed. And we entered a world of very low interest rates. Asset prices spiked. The wealth gap continued to increase. And the effects of which we are still facing today. So it was a tumultuous roller coaster, ups and downs, but learned a lot in the process.
And obviously right now you are at HashKey.
Yep.
So tell us about your role at HashKey. You know, what do you do for HashKey?
So HashKey, I bring with me those 17 years of mistakes and experience. That's at least how I would like to put it. My role here is really to curate a roadmap for products in virtual assets, both for high touch and digital distribution. You know, these products have a very same look and feel as to what traditional finance products do have. So I look at my role more as a bridge to connect the old with the new and be a part of this very exciting asset class in the process.
Now, Kunal, you know, sometimes we have these conversations in the office, and I know that you are a very passionate enthusiast towards Bitcoin, actually. Now, can you tell us, how did your excitement and fascination in Bitcoin first come about? When did you first hear about, you know, this fascinating technology?
Well, the first time I heard about it was in 2012, which was right about the time I moved to Hong Kong. And, a very dear friend of mine from Tokyo days, he was Australian, and he was moving back to his hometown in Sydney. And he asked me to courier him a graphics processing card. And I was like, what an odd request. Why don't you just buy a new one in Sydney? And he's like, no. That has a lot of my mined bitcoins. I'm like, mined what? So I was just like, okay, what are you even talking about? And he told me to read about it, which I obviously did not. I think the first time it really caught my attention was the bull market of 2017. And even at that time, I saw it more as an asset class, as an investment product with a very positive asymmetric return profile. I didn't really understand the nuances of it and what it could potentially replace. It was not until 2020 when the COVID lockdowns actually happened and, a lot of the podcast series that I used to hear and follow started bringing up this term Bitcoin a lot more and its association as digital gold. And maybe that was what clicked, and I dug down the rabbit hole then. And well, when I tried to go down that path, that's when I really understood the genius in this invention.
Well, I'm sure you don't regret that decision at all, right? You know, having to studying all of those different knowledges and different literature of cryptocurrency, right?
Yes, absolutely not. It's been an amazing joyride for the last 3 years, and it's just such a powerful, powerful technology in so many ways, and addresses what I believe to be the real problem in the market today. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Okay, now you first mentioned that when you first learned Bitcoin, you were still working as a trader in the TradFi space. Yeah. Was there ever a kind of a contradictory moment when you think, oh, what I'm doing right now or my passion for Bitcoin, it's kind of against like the ideals of Bitcoin. It's kind of like against the ethos of what TradFi is, right? Yeah. Was there ever that moment for you?
Oh, very much so. I would say... understanding Bitcoin has been a very humbling experience because across the entire time that I went in, when I started looking at it very deeply in 2020, I had already started questioning a lot of things about the existing monetary system. And when you actually go down that rabbit hole, you have to look at it from a very different lens, where you are essentially throwing out all the education, all what you had ever learned, what economics, you know, is, and what drives pricing and demand supply. You literally have to throw everything out and start afresh. So 100%, you know, I mean, it was an experience which was a very novel experience. But once you actually enter into it and understand the value proposition, you truly understand the genius of what this can lead to and what it could replace.
Interesting enough that you mentioned that when you first started learning Bitcoin, it's something that was never taught at school. But fast forward 2022, we've seen like lots of colleges and education institutions actually have started classes, you know, teaching people what Bitcoin is, what blockchain is. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, you know, a Polytechnic University here in Hong Kong actually just announced an upcoming metaverse postgraduate program next year. So I guess that just goes to show how far this industry has come, right?
Even the only professor in MIT also like founded their own like public chain, Algorand Foundation.
The Algorand Foundation, that's correct. Sylvia yes, that's correct. Yeah. No, I think this will only increase and get more and more expanded. At the moment, we are only seeing, at least when I started taking this very seriously, I had actually done an online course from Oxford University to understand the very basics of blockchain. But yeah, and I mean, maybe maybe 2-3 years down the line, we may see a proper 4-year degree in blockchain. This is how fast the industry is actually growing. And, you know, it touches a lot of areas. That is also, you know, doing peer-to-peer transfer of value without a trusted third party intermediary is a very powerful concept. And now you build smart contracts into the equation, you can literally touch every industry. So it has wide-reaching consequences, and it changes everything about how we interact with systems, with the world today.
Obviously, you are a ardent supporter of Bitcoin. Are you satisfied, or what are your thoughts on the development and growth of Bitcoin so far? You know, we've seen Bitcoin being adopted as legal tenders in El Salvador and potentially many other countries in the future. We've seen companies, public companies, actually incorporating Bitcoin into their balance sheets, etc. What are your thoughts on Bitcoin's development after all these years?
Very happy with the adoption. I mean, we should look no further than the adoption of the internet in 1995. You know, you can draw very, very strong parallels with how the adoption curve in Bitcoin is going. I did not expect Bitcoin to become legal tender in a sovereign nation this quick, but it's a stark reminder that Bitcoin is both an asset and a network. And, you know, if a large proportion of your GDP is actually coming from foreign remittances, then it actually makes a lot of sense to adopt Bitcoin as a network.
So, Kunal, a lot of like different investments product right now in the crypto market, they really mirror like traditional TradFi products. So could you kind of give us an overview of what the current market landscape is like, and also what are the developments that is going to happen?
Yeah, very much so, Celine. So yes, a lot of the products that are out there today take their cues from traditional banking and traditional finance, but there are a lot of innovative products as well. I mean, if you look at a perpetual future, this is not something we even have in traditional markets. And what a perpetual future really is buying spot on margin, which and because of that feature, it's a very good indicator of instantaneous funding. Then, you know, the explosion of DeFi that we saw in 2021, you know, saw this emergence of liquidity pools. Liquidity pool is not a new concept at all, but, you know, when you kind of wrap smart contracts around it, the kind of innovation and financial innovation, I would say, that you can actually do is just mind-blowing. The fact that you can yield farm, yield aggregation, these are exciting stuff. And then obviously, you know, on the funds aspects, we started seeing a lot of these kind of GBTC style products come in. That was the very first one. Now we're seeing a lot more future-based ETFs come in as well. A lot of funds now have started giving a lot of a bigger array of diversification to the crypto universe. And also a lot of quant strategies have emerged, you know, which are giving exposure to the spot future arbitrage and amongst other things. So I honestly feel that the market is developing very, very quickly. We still have a long ways to go. But if we see the progress that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, it's been tremendous.
Now, obviously, you're a TradFi guy, right? I guess it's fair to say that, considering the years of experience you're in the space. Now, well, when you first got to know more about the space, was there any specific product or any specific kind of, I guess product would be the right word, that kind of surprised you? Oh, and say, oh, I didn't know crypto can do that. Like, I've never seen this thing in TradFi. Like, was there any wow moment for you?
Well, there were many wow moments, but one thing that was like an extremely wow moment was when I learned about the Hedgehog protocol, basically how a liquidity pool can essentially be an on-chain option settlement system was something totally mind-blowing to me. I mean, if you further take down, you know, as an options trader, I had never ever thought in those terms, because we are basically always taught of, you know, seeing it as an option buyer, an option seller. And here, you know, you have a liquidity pool being the option seller, which was absolutely fascinating. So it totally blew my mind away.
I see. So earlier during our conversation, we talked about how like money hasn't really completely poured money into the crypto market itself. And what do you think is the reason behind this gap? Or what do you think could bridge this gap between traditional and more innovative spaces like crypto? Is it the liquidity side or the regulatory side or both?
I think a bit of both. You know, big financial institutions and big banks really care about both those things, liquidity and regulation. I think liquidity is, you know, it's going to happen. It's a standard evolution of the market. We already have futures. Now the next stage is going to be the emergence of a full-blown OTC derivatives market. If I was to take cues of what we saw in the fiat world, you know, this futures eventually led to the emergence of short-dated forwards, and then forwards essentially led to the emergence of swaps. That basically extends the curve. And then once the curve gets extended, then you have, you know, vols which trade on top of that. And then you have a whole suite of structured products and exciting things that you can do. So I sense the same thing happening here. A few major banks are already setting up crypto trading desks to basically deal in non-deliverable forwards. So the path that I mentioned is probably the path that's going to happen even in the crypto space. And then you have corporates. Corporates are a totally different beast. And, you know, I have my own theory, but I think it's a regulatory angle as to why they're not getting involved.
Yeah. Could you please elaborate more on this regulatory part that you just mentioned earlier?
Yeah. So in the United States, you have something called the FASB accounting standards, right? And in FASB accounting standards, they treat crypto as an indefinite intangible. What does that even mean? That means that crypto in your balance sheet is treated the exact same way as a fine work of art, in it that you can never mark it up, you can only mark it down. So big balance sheets and pristine balance sheets with abundance of cash, like the likes of Apple, Google, Amazon, I, for one, don't believe that they don't understand the value proposition of this. I honestly feel that they haven't come in because of this actual accounting standard rule. And the only way to realize the value and indefinite intangible accounting standard is to actually sell it. And once you sell it, it becomes a taxable event. So as we speak about this, you know, only last week we heard, it actually hit the wires, that FASB is seriously looking into moving this to fair value accounting. And a decision is about to take place before the end of the year. So let's keep our fingers crossed, because if that happens, it actually opens a very, very big door for corporate inclusion.
I see. Speaking of TradFi and also crypto trading, what do you think would be the difference in the mindset and when it comes to these kind of strategies?
I would say that the fiat markets over the last decade have also evolved quite a lot, you know, and the most liquid derivative instrument in the fiat world is the dollar, is dollar swaps. And would you believe it, 30% of that entire market is actually a computer. So it's actually an algorithm, which is the largest market, the largest single market maker there. And I think in crypto world as well, the institutional trading is very technical driven. And I see very, very similar pattern recognitions and very similar style of trading that we use in the traditional finance world being applied here as well. What is interesting, though, is in the crypto world, we don't know yet how the asset actually behaves. Is it a security? Is it a commodity? Is it FX? Is it equity? Or is it a hybrid of it? So that is actually what is exciting in the journey. And hopefully with time and hopefully with regulatory clarity, this will be solidified.
Now, we normally like to end these podcasts with kind of a prediction of the future. So Kunal, Bitcoin, crypto, blockchain, it's been around for over a decade right now, and it really has transformed lives of millions of people around the world, whether it be their income, whether it be, you know, their jobs, etc. Now, in your opinion, in what ways do you envision crypto really inherently change our future or kind of transform the way we live?
See, Bitcoin revolution is really for the common man, you know, he is the one who is impacted the most from it. Because as I mentioned, you know, I mean, the concept of peer-to-peer value transfer without a trusted third-party intermediary is a very powerful concept. If you look at our entire financial system today, it's entirely built on trust. And if you remove trust out of the equation, you have changed the entire game. Because then you don't trust an institution or a third party, you actually trust the code. There have been some sayings on social media that that we will see a decade worth of change in what we have seen. We will see more change in the next 10 years than we have seen in the past 100. And I actually tend to agree with that. Especially in the breadth and scale of where, you know, we are today and the industries that it is touching, it is absolutely enormous. You know, I would like to end with a very famous book written by George Orwell, 1983, where he predicted the emergence of a very dystopian world. I am actually so bullish on this technology that I would say that by 2083, we will see an emergence of a very utopian world thanks to this technology.
Well, thank you so much, Kunal, for being on the show. I think during this episode, we've learned that not only are you super supportive and super looking forward to the future of this industry, but you've also told us about the intersection with regards to TradFi and regards to crypto and the similarities between it. Now, if you guys are listening this on audio, feel free to check us out on Spotify and on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Please do stay tuned for the next episode and see you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kunal, for being our guest today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Crypto Savvy, the podcast that delivers the crypto essentials, brought to you by the Hashkey Group.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.